Well, tomorrow is Mother's Day, as you've been hearing already. It is a very special occasion every year. I thought I would give you some of the history of, fill in what Mr. Garland didn't fill in on the history of Mother's Day as I begin here today. When I looked up some of the history, I thought it was quite interesting. Although when I get through with that, I do want to point out what it is to us and to what it should be to all Christians. But a little bit of the background of how did we come to get this particular day. The first attempts to establish a Mother's Day in the United States came from women's peace groups. A common early activity was the meeting of groups of mothers whose sons had fought and or died on opposite sides of the American Civil War. In 1868, Anna Jarvis, mother of Anna Jarvis, mother named her daughter, same as her, created a committee to establish a Mother's Friendship Day, the purpose of which was to unite families that had been divided during the Civil War. Very interesting. Jarvis, who had previously organized Mother's Day work clubs to improve sanitation and health for both Union and Confederate encampments undergoing a typhoid outbreak, wanted to expand this into an annual memorial for mothers. But she died in 1905 before the celebration became popular. Her daughter would continue her mother's efforts, and her daughter's name was the same as her mother, Anna Jarvis. In 1904, Frank Herring, president of the Fraternal Order of Eagles, made a plea for a national day to honor our mothers. In its present form, Mother's Day was established by Anna Jarvis. Do you say that when it's a woman? Do you say Anna Jarvis Jr.? I don't think so. Now it'd have to be, got to get the feminine name there. But anyhow, that's the first time I've ever seen that a mother named her daughter after herself. But here it is. So Anna Jarvis, the younger one, with the help of the Philadelphia merchant John Wanamaker, following the death of her mother, Anna Jarvis, on May 6th, 1905, is when that she began to do this and to set up and start it. The first official one that she had was on May 12, 1907. But it was not until later, pushing it toward, with the help of John Wanamaker too, and influences, to the House of Representatives in May of 1913, it was first brought up. And in May 8th of 1914, the U.S. Congress passed a law designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day and requesting a proclamation. The next day, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation declaring the first National Mother's Day as a day for American citizens to show the flag in honor of those mothers whose sons had died in the war. And, of course, that was in the previous wars and coming up also throughout that period of time of World War I as they were just getting into it. And the tradition began, of course, with wearing a white carnation. And I guess that carries over even to the present day. Reading the history a little bit of how we came to have this national day to honor women, one thing to me was left out. And that was what was given or mentioned and referred to in the sermonette, the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. And Mother's Day is a day in which we set aside to show appreciation and honor to our physical mother. And yet the Bible tells us that we should be honoring father and mother every day. we know from the commandments, certainly Exodus chapter 12, and rather than turning to it, I will just read or refer to it because some of it's already been mentioned. But the fifth commandment, which is the first commandment with promise, it's the first commandment of the second group. The first group is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And it summarizes the latter six of the Ten Commandments. But in Exodus 20 and verse 12, why? That your days may be long. It's certainly a commandment with promise. That is also individually and collectively, I might add, as a nation. Because if a nation overall, and for the most part, is practicing this, you're going to see that there will be the blessings of longevity that will come to that nation and to the people. This is interesting, by the way, how long people have lived as you come into the 20th century. And do we want to just say it's all because of medical science? Or is it because when you look back over this country and what it has been and used to be, I would say, there was an honoring of parents. And there was a much closer religious reason behind that. And when you look at some of your grandparents, parents and grandparents, and how long they have lived, I look at my parents, how long they lived over their parents, the number of years of their lives. I kind of wonder, is that, I guess we'll find out later, but I think some of these promises have come through, and we probably have given the credit to something else, not thinking about this particular promise, that maybe God was indeed fulfilling it. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, where the Ten Commandments in the fifth chapter are repeated, there on the fifth commandment, it says that it may be well with you, that it may be well with you, that things will go well with you. Again, you'd have to look at it individually as well as collectively as a nation, because those commandments were being given to the nation as well as to the individual. It's already been mentioned about Ephesians chapter 6, because there Paul made the reference to the first commandment with promise. And the first commandment with promise, if you have a test, somebody asks you, what's the first commandment with promise? It's the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. a couple things that we might take a look at is some of the individuals who did not always do that. You can go back before the, or just after the flood, Genesis 9, verses 21 through 26. Here we found that, well, let me go back to that one. What happens here when people dishonor the father and their mother? What's interesting about this, it shows that even though the commandments were not written in the stone at this time, they were in force. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 21, then he drank of the wine, Noah did, and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. There may be several reasons that are not listed there as to why that would happen to him and he would become drunk so easily. One book I read in suggested that because the waters of the firmament had come down and were no longer there, that the fermentation process was much quicker, and that it may have literally hit him a lot faster than what it would have been before the flood, drinking the same wine. I actually have that book. I had to bring it out sometime and read that. It's kind of interesting, by the way. And there may be something indeed to that that might answer some of this. He drank the wine, verse 21. Verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine. He knew what his younger son had done to him. His younger son, in this case, is not Ham, but it's Ham's son here, who is Canaan. So then he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, and he shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant," as he went on to say here. Well, Canaan did something to his grandfather, Noah. By the way, when it says son, they don't use the word grandfather in the Bible. The son can be your actual son or your grandson. And in this case, it is the grandson here, Canaan. He didn't curse Ham. He cursed Canaan because of what he did and the disrespect and the dishonor that he had shown to his father. So there is a penalty that can be paid for that. Now, I'd like to come back here just to looking at the commandment for just a minute, the fifth commandment, because it is significant of its position and order in the Ten Commandments. I've already mentioned to you it's the first with promise. It's the first of the second group of the the second group of the six commandments there, to love your neighbor as yourself. They are divided into two groups under these two overall great commandments. To honor your parents is the first commandment under love your neighbor. Why? Why wouldn't it be maybe the sixth or seventh? Why would it be the first? Well, when we look at the first commandment itself, the actual first commandment, what is it? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind, right? Well, that's actually to have no other gods before the true God. I'm paraphrasing it there. So we are to put God first in the first group under love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. Under the second group, then it is what? To honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the earth. Now, this provides, when you look at the first commandment, the actual first commandment, what does it do? Provides unity and harmony with God only, right? And God first. We acknowledge and submit to him as our creator, our sustainer, and the one who could give us eternal life when we honor him and worship him and him only. Now, the fifth commandment ensures unity and harmony in the family here on earth. We give commitment, love, and loyalty to our family, or we should. If we honor our parents, who are physical and brought us into life, we will know how to honor God, who is spirit, and will give us eternal life. So the first and the fifth commandments are, in essence, teaching the same thing, one to the physical and the other to the spiritual. I'd like to take a look at this a little bit more, how we can better honor our parents, and both sets, that which is above and that which is here on the earth, and to consider it in both ways. How can we better honor both the first, our parents, under the first and under the fifth commandment? Well, there are certain things here that are not all that complicated that I think we can consider. Number one, we need to build respect for our parents. It is certainly on Mother's Day a time we stop to look and consider just how much do we respect our mothers, and later on, a month later, our father when Father's Day comes. But throughout the year, we should be thinking and considering this, and not just only on the one day of the week. An example of what happened to individuals and how much emphasis God puts on honoring them in the fifth commandment. That is very, very important to God. I want to show you an example in 2 Kings chapter 2, what happens when individuals dishonor. And here it's not just a mother, but as you will see, it's Elijah here, 2 Kings chapter 2. And you might have wondered when you've read this in the past, well, doesn't that seem kind of severe, and why would this happen? In 2 Kings chapter 2, in verse 23 through 25, in verse 23, then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him, said to him, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head," or something like, "you old man." It was a very dishonorable type thing. So he turned around and he looked at them and he pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Now, obviously, they paid quite a price here for this kind of disrespect. Disrespect here, of course, to God's servant, also to the because of his age and everything as to who he was. We are to respect not only people like Elijah, we are to respect mothers as well, both sets of the parents. So they disrespected his office in this case and his person. But to show you why this might be, if you go back to Exodus, we begin to see how God looks at things, and he really instilled this in Israel and under the Old Covenant. In Exodus chapter 21 and verse 15, and again in 17, but verse 15, "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." And verse 17, "And he who curses father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Now, when we look around us in this world that we live in today, there is a lot of that going on. And God is not very pleased with it at all. And certainly one of the things that's awful to see, we have cases over there on the West Coast. I guess you probably have them over here too. One teenager here last year killed his parents in Naples. And you looked at the kid in the news when he was, you can't believe it. And just something shot him, killed him. Is it an isolated thing? Well, there's a lot of these things going on. One of the biggest problems of disrespect happens to be not with those who, in this case, was a teenager, but most of it has to do with children who are now adults and not showing the respect and the honor to their parents or to their mothers as they should. And it is a sad situation. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, we notice what God has to say again about this. And it's something that maybe it's not taught as much today. But in Deuteronomy 27 and in verse 16, here you have things of the curses that are listed. But in verse 16, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. It is. This is something that should be taught to children. We are to honor our father and our mother and not treat them with contempt, not to curse them, not to hit them, not to do anything against them in any way whatsoever. It is very important to God to learn to build respect to our parents. We do not always have that in this age that we live in. Now, some may ask the question, well, what if parents have not been exactly respectable before us? And that is certainly a situation that you cannot deny. There have been some atrocious and terrible things in the news of what parents have done to their children. I've thought at times when mothers have killed their children, and they're going to come up in the resurrection. And I don't know just how that's going to play out. I mean, as far as what will they remember, that mother's going to remember and those children are going to remember, I would think. And there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be very difficult to handle. Of course, in many, many families, there's been problems with sexual problems, incest problems, all of that. So how do those people who are the victims honor their father and their mother? Well, obviously, we have to, as we come to keep the first commandment, and more so in our life, we have to come to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We may want to consider whether these things just happened to them one time, or was it something multiple that was going on? In a lot of cases, things could have been multiple and going on for some long period of time. But if the sinner sincerely repents and seeks help to change, is it still something unforgivable? That's one of the key things. But if a person is hardened and they want to continue in that activity, if they are able to get away with it, that's a little different, isn't it? Well, I remember Peter asked the question, how often should I forgive those who sin against me? 7 times. And Christ said, well, I say to you, not just 7, but 70 times 7. But remember, Peter asked the question if they ask to be forgiven. And something here to consider when you look at this type of sin, that, of course, the years later, the ones who perpetrated the sins may be dead. And then a person is called and becoming into conversion. But then the person's not going to be alive to in any way tell them that they are sorry and never did before they died, whatever the reasons for death were. Well, it's something we have to look and come to realize in a much bigger way. That God will deal with every one of them in his own time. I want to be right before God. Now, it takes a lot of prayer and come to have faith in God to be able to, well, you can't honor them. They're dead now. They've gone on. but you're getting into the subject of forgiveness and moving on. Anyhow, getting back here, yes, we do want to learn how to respect our parents, and sometimes their actions have been certainly not respectable over the years. And in every generation, that has those things have come out. And some of the things that, and I ran into it, frankly, in churches and when I was up in Ohio, in the church. And it was, as a young minister up there, shocking to say the very, very least. And didn't turn out very well either in the end. But one of the most important things is we learn and teach our children how to respect their parents and all adults. What about our parents above? See, by learning how to respect on earth, and it's going to help individuals, young children, as they grow up, to learn how to respect that which is above. In Galatians chapter 4, let's take a look over here, Galatians chapter 4. And Paul makes using an analogy. Of that which is from Sinai and that which is above. If I can get through these pages, I'll read it to you. But it's in Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 26. He says, "But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all." Well, we could back up to verse 25 where he said, "Therefore this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is," that is the physical Jerusalem, that is what? Under the law. Under the penalty of the law, under the old covenant as well. Which is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is not free from the law or the commandments of God. That's not what it's talking about. Free from the death penalty, which is the mother of us all, for it is written. And that's very interesting. He referred to it as the mother of us all. "For it is written, rejoice, O barren, who you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who do not labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband." He uses very interesting here this analogy, spiritually speaking. Certainly refers to our head, Jesus Christ. Also refers to the church in a sense as well. So, we see this especially if we look over here at Hebrews chapter 12, where he uses brings it out. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 22 and 3, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem," the Jerusalem above, "to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect." Very interesting description here that Paul is giving as he writes here in the book of Hebrews and showing. And, of course, you can go to the book of Revelation. There it is brought out as well. The Jerusalem above is certainly used in reference to the church. God works through the church. He works down through from heaven through his church today, and he always will. If we dishonor the Jerusalem above, we break the first and we break the fifth commandments, when you think about it. Will our days be short? Will our days be short? Or will they be shortened? I've wondered about that sometimes when people become embittered and turn away. Does it shorten their days? In some cases, I'd have to say it appears that it did. I mean, I can't be totally dogmatic, but I have thought about it at times. Our eternal parents are in heaven. And do we honor them when we dishonor his truth, his servants, or his church on earth? And certainly we don't want to be dishonorable in any way, and I think most people certainly do not, but some have. Some have allowed, because of the things that have happened over the last year, number of years, decades now in the church, to have no respect whatsoever and to decide upon themselves, I will decide what is right and what is wrong. We have to learn to respect the Jerusalem above, And yes, he does work through the church. He works through his servants who keep the truth and remain faithful to it. That is very, very important. We have to teach our children also to have respect for parents and for adults. That is part of keeping the fifth commandment. And it's also a very important part when we think about this Mother's Day tomorrow or Father's Day in a month from now, that it should be this way all year round. Now, let's move on to another part of how we can learn to honor our father and mother, keeping the fifth and the first commandment. Let's listen to our parents. Listen to our parents. In Exodus 18, we see the example here of Moses listening to his father-in-law, and who gave him some very good advice that he said to him here in Exodus chapter 18, verse 15. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God, and when they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. Well, so Moses' father-in-law said to him, well, this thing is too much. This thing that you do is not good. It's more than you can handle. It's more than a person can handle. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you, and you are not able to perform it by yourself. You need help. I think you know the rest of the story. He listened to him. He said, look, delegate it. And not just to anybody. Because he said, you look for people who will live and follow in the truth. In verse 24, well, Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law, and he did all that he said. He did those things. And he looked for people of character. In verse 21, moreover, you will select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, fifties, and tens. Now, do you think that also included in that would be those who respect their parents, who honor and respect God? I mean, if they fear God, if you're looking for men who fear God, that means, yes, the first and the fifth commandments. And they certainly do honor their parents. You look at the news and you'll see many, many cases where people do not, and they do not listen. Don't ignore your parents' advice. You know, it's not uncommon for young people to ignore their parents' advice because they feel in some ways that they are better educated than their parents. And in some ways that might be true, although now I have more doubts about that because of things I have seen in the news. Now, when this trial up in Sanford was going on here, it's been, a year or so back now, and there was one witness who came, and the attorney asked this young lady to read whatever it was to read. It was in cursive writing, and she couldn't read it because it wasn't taught. Not taught in schools. Now, feel sorry for that young lady. How do you write a Mother's Day card and give it to your mother if you don't know how to do it? I guess you block print. It's about the only, how do you sign your name? How do you sign a check? All of these things and others. I have been surprised at the things that I've picked up on here in the last several years of what is not taught in the schools that I and my wife were taught and most of you in here were taught. And of what I would call general basic education that is not taught. You know, when young kids do not know where Pearl Harbor is or what happened there, or anything about World War II or Korea, or anything about the Revolutionary War and the founding of the country, because you have a lot of liberal people here who do not like some of the things that were taught in our generation when we grew up about George Washington that was quoted here, or about some of our great presidents and leaders of the past. And those things, in a lot of cases, are not being taught today. It's very, very sad, too. But we do need to listen to our parents, nevertheless. And listen to those who are adults. That's a part of showing that respect and honor. We listen to them. Many people, it's a sad thing when you see what happens when children who have not listened and they get in trouble. Because in about every case, it's not because they were told not to, or this is not the way to go. They were, but they chose otherwise not to listen. And in that sense, they were dishonoring their parents who tried in good faith to teach them and show them the right way. They just wouldn't do it. And consequences come with all of that. One example in the Bible, I won't turn to it, is what happened when King Solomon died. His son Rehoboam. Did he listen to the wiser, older counselors and show honor and respect by doing so to them? No way. He listened to the younger ones. And now Solomon, it's interesting. You go back and look at his life in the early years, let's put it that way. When his father David died, his mother, Bathsheba, gave counsel to him. And you read about that in the first couple chapters of his life there in 1 Kings. And it does show that he was showed honor to his mother, and he did listen in that sense. And he certainly didn't show any disrespect to her whatsoever. And she was now older than he was, obviously. All right, what else can we do to build honor and to honor our father and to honor our mother and honor those certainly in heaven? Spiritually speaking, which I just looked over and didn't get to it, do we listen to Jesus Christ in keeping with the first commandment to honor our father and our parents above? Do we listen to Christ? Do we listen to his word? Do we listen through his church when it's teaching truth and doing what's right, or his servants? An example in Jeremiah, which maybe I'll just take a moment to turn to that, is in Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah chapter 42. In Jeremiah chapter 42, this is, of course, when the Babylonians had overthrown the Jewish state and had overrun Jerusalem. There were survivors who were not captured by the Babylonians. Verse 1, now all the captains of the forces of Johanan, the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the sons of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petition be acceptable to you and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many. As you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing that we should do. All right, we want you to go and ask God what we should do. Well, in verse 7, of course he did, and it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And then in verse 10, now if you will still remain in this land where the Babylonians now are going to and fro, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon you. Well, how did they respond? You do that and you'll be okay. Verse 15, then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. If you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine and so forth of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die, as he goes on to say through verse 16. Then in verse 21, and I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has sent you by me. And of course, then in chapter 43 and in verse 2, that Azariah the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan the son of Kareah and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt to dwell there. Well, we know the story then, obviously, that they went on down to Egypt, and of course they died. They didn't listen to God's servants. They didn't listen to the Jerusalem above in that sense. Sometimes in the Church of God, people do not listen to the advice that is given. That is sound advice based on Scripture, and that people should really seek to want to follow. Always think about this as far as an honoring our God above, the Jerusalem above. Do we listen to what Jesus Christ teaches us through his word? I won't get into a lot of details, but sometimes it has a lot to do with marriage. And marriage and divorce and a number of things like that where people do not choose to listen to the Jerusalem above. I want to do what I want to do. A third area, not only to learn to honor our parents by learning to and be teaching to respect them and respect our parents on earth, respect our parents above, because when our parents on the earth are dead, we still have parents to honor. And yes, on Mother's Day and on every day of the year. So certainly to learn to respect more as we grow in conversion throughout our life, teaching our children and learning ourselves how to respect our parents above. Also listening, and listening through the Word of God and through those that he has sent who are indeed teaching the truth, that we listen to our parents above. A third thing, that we learn to obey our parents. Obviously, we teach that we are to obey our parents. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 1, this is what Paul said to do. Ephesians 6 and in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, we are all children of the Lord. That is, those which are above. My parents have long since died, and for most of you, that's probably the same situation as well. But I need, and I have to do, and you have to do, we have, and that is to obey our parents from above. Now, does that mean in absolutely everything when we look at it physically on our parents here on the earth? Well, children growing up and under the authority of their parents, yes, they do. But now, what about once you begin to leave the home and your parents want you to do something? And it comes in conflict with God and the truth and the church that you've come into. Well, I think common sense tells us no. And in fact, only common sense, but the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we are to obey God first and keep his commandments. Sometimes people look here in Ephesians, since we're there in chapter 5, look at verse 24 about wives. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, what about as children to their parents in everything? Does everything, you know, does that mean everything? Well, everything, as long as it is within the commandments of God and within his word, but, can be some things that can, you know, if the parents want their teenage son to help them in a heist by driving the vehicle, do they obey in everything? No. Of course, if that's the case in that family, it's a quite dysfunctional family, as they use that term today. And that teenage boy probably wouldn't know the difference between right and wrong. He never was taught it. Unless he was in public school, he may have learned a few things there. Common sense ought to tell anyone in a position like that that no, everything doesn't mean always everything. But for the most part, everything, yes, that we should obey our parents just as we obey God in everything that he commands and gives us to do. And that's certainly showing honor to our parents from above when we obey him and we obey him in everything. Now, if there are certain things that come up that make you question, sometimes individuals have had a question about it. Well, my parents want me, or my mother, and now the person asking the question is not even living at home anymore, wants me to do such and such. Do I need to do that? Well, when you come into questionable situations, remember the Bible says that in a multitude of counselors there is safety. And it says it three times in the Proverbs. And so seek counsel. Seek counsel. There can be some situations that there may not be a thus saith the Lord commandment in violation, but in the spirit or in the intent, it could possibly be there. Seek counsel when you have a question about it. And certainly spiritually speaking, when it comes to obeying the first commandment, we must obey God. That is certainly no question about that. An example of a woman who became a mother and who certainly did fear and obey God and spiritually kept the first, and she kept the fifth commandment. And well, it's the story here of Ruth. And we're coming up to Pentecost here in just a few weeks. And of course, the story of Ruth is always read at the time of Pentecost. Let's take a look at that real quickly. It's right after the book of Judges and before 1 Samuel. Now, here's quite a lady. She is her husband has died, actually, but she will remarry Boaz. But here in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 15, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. You too, is what the mother-in-law here is saying. Verse 16, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And as she became more and more, of course, a type here, really, of the church, and Boaz, when she, you read the story, is a type of Jesus Christ later on, marrying the church. It's interesting how this woman, she had committed herself to the God of Naomi. And she stayed with that all the rest of her life. So she stayed with the Jerusalem above. Now, one thing that's very important that we need to also consider as parents get older, to take care of our parents as they have need. Sometimes parents are just... left for nothing. They took care of us. They brought us into this world. We have to take care of them. That is also a part of honoring our father and our mother. When they get too old, when they can't take care of themselves, they don't have enough to live on. It may be a great inconvenience, but it is something that is part of our honoring and obeying both the first and the fifth commandment. And that we are prepared and we will take care of them. That was mentioned in the sermonette, John 19, where Jesus gave to the apostle John. He and his mother Mary were there as he was about to die. And he committed her to be taken, or for him to take care of her. And he did. And for the rest of her natural life. I've kind of wondered about it, because where were her other sons? They became apostles. James, he didn't tell James to do that. Of course, James wasn't converted at that time. But John was the converted one. He was the one that was beloved by the Lord and so forth. You read in the book of John. And so he had John. I think maybe I can answer that. Just a thought came to my mind. I think I do know why. Because Jesus knew how John would die. He also knew how the others would die. So if he had committed his mother to be taken care of by James, who was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple while his mother was still alive, or the others, they all died a violent death, except, of course, John. And he had told how John would die. It's recorded by John there in the book of John. Let's notice here in 1 Timothy 5, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, a couple things here that Paul gave instructions, and certainly this has to be a part of what we do, and I think everybody for the most part does it. In the church, everybody certainly takes care of their parents as they get older in life and they need help and all of that. But it's a sad thing when you see in the world that a lot of times they're just dumped off somewhere. And they're not being taken care of. Are there siblings? Are there children out there who could? Yeah, but they just don't want to. And they, I've got my life to live, this type of thing. It's, you know, like a in 2 Timothy 3, I won't turn to it, but verses 1 through 5 in 2 Timothy 3 talks about all of the things. They would be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures. They would be disobedient to parents. It's talking about perilous times, times of stress that would come in the end time. And we see that. You read about it. You see it on the news. It's tragic. But it happens too often. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows, as he goes on to say. In verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You know, for somebody who's not taking care of the mother who needs help, but just shows up for Mother's Day to maybe have dinner or a piece of cake together, is that really showing honor? No, but that does happen, unfortunately, too much. And verse 16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened that it may relieve those who are really widows indeed. Now, it's a sad thing, but that has happened, and I've had to deal with it in different ways over the years, that younger families in the church want the church to financially support their aging mother or father and provide a monthly income above their Social Security or whatever they have, rather than they do it, because we can't do it. We're just up to here financially. Will the church do it and take care of them? Well, yes, if we're not going to let somebody be out in the street or anything like that whatsoever. But one has to really stop and ask, are you really that far up here financially, or you think you are? We are to take care of our parents. And it's not a matter of casting them off. Well, the church has its financial assistance fund. It'll take care of them and all that. No, we have a responsibility that we have to pitch in and to do that and take care of those. Well, Mother's Day is coming, and hopefully, I'm sure many of you, sometimes your mothers are not here. They're in some other, you're here, but they're in some other part of the country or whatever it might be the case. Call, write, send gifts if they live a long way apart, that type of thing. Remember anniversaries, not only just Mother's Day, but other anniversaries and things. And don't get too busy for your parents. Spend that time with them as much as you can, and take care of them as much as you can when they get to the point where they can no longer take care and provide for themselves. So how can we better honor our parents? Through both our parents on the earth and our parents above. Well, the best way is to learn to respect and show high respect to them, listen to them, obey them, both here and above, and do everything we can to take care of them. How about the church? Do we take care of the church? How about in your offerings? Yes, you're taking care of your parents above, the church, the Jerusalem above, when you give in offerings and tithes, and you're taking care of your parents on the earth when you help them when they can no longer help themselves. Well, brethren, the fifth commandment extends throughout all of our life. And if our physical parents are gone, our spiritual parents are forever. Let's always honor both our physical and our spiritual parents. Let's have a wonderful Mother's Day tomorrow.